All right, church, we are in the book of Joshua. It has been a long time since I did these videos. I apologize for that. Thank you for your patience. We are in the book of Joshua. We're doing this in our sermon series at church on Sundays. And as usual, I like to follow along during the weekdays with some kind of in-between notes and messages on the text of the Bible that I don't hit on Sundays. Because you can't do it all on Sundays or else we'd be here all day Sunday and just wouldn't work. So we're in Joshua chapter 1. We covered verses 1 through 9 in the message on Sunday. So from there, obviously, you get to verse 10. And verses 10 through the end, through verse 18 here, are just a kind of a setup to what's going to happen next. There's a lot of action in Joshua. They just keep moving. But this little part kind of sets it up. This is Joshua stepping into his leadership. And it says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan River to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess. So that they are on the east side of the Jordan River. They have to cross it to the west side. The west side is the traditional, when you think of the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, the east-west border is the Jordan River. Now, we know God's promises were that their kingdom would extend all the way into modern-day Iraq, into the Euphrates River. But when they're capturing the land and the core kind of home base of things where Jerusalem is going to be and all the major events of the nation of Israel all happen west of that Jordan River. And there's a little sliver of land between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, and that is the land of Israel as it is typically measured and understood. So they are still on the east side of it, and Joshua says, hey, I'm in charge now, guys. In 3 days, we're going over. Be ready. Get everything ready. Be prepared, all right? He says this to verse 12, to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word that Moses of the servant of the Lord commanded you. Because you might remember, if you're reading in Exodus through Deuteronomy, a couple of these tribes mentioned here were intending that they're part of Israel, and they're looking around at the land, and they've decided that they don't really want to settle west of the river, of the Jordan River. They want to settle east of it in the land that they're currently sitting in. They haven't crossed the river yet, and they're like, this is actually where we want to stay. We don't need to go into that part of the land. We want to stay here. And of course, biblically speaking, boundary-wise, they were well within the total territory that God said Israel would occupy all the way out to the Euphrates River. They have plenty of room there. But even still, since this is going to be the core part of the land of Israel, crossing the river, Moses had told them under God, saying, look, guys, you can settle here all you want, but we need all hands on deck to go conquer and capture this land when the time comes. So you're going to need to help us all. You can't just take your land and stop. We want you to come with us and do it all, and then we're going to allot each tribe their own bit of land, and you guys can certainly stay in this area if you want to. And so Joshua reminds them of that, because now it's time to come actually fight. And Moses is dead, the guy who had told them that they would need to do this, and Joshua reminds them of the promises that they had made, that they would in fact, help the rest of Israel fight. And they're happy to do it, okay? Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandments and disobeys your words, whatever you commanded him, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So I think I kind of bobbled reading it there, but if somebody disobeys Joshua, whatever he commands, they're going to put him to death. Like they're obeying Joshua all the way. That's what they say. And look at the things they say and the language they use. Wherever you send us, we will go. God had told Joshua, I will be with you wherever you go. And now these guys are saying, wherever you send us, we'll go. They are picking up the same commission that God had given Joshua to enter this land and take it, and anywhere you put your foot, I'll give it to you. And these guys are saying, anywhere you send us, we will go. This is the discipleship process that you can see Jesus commanding in the book of Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, and all through the book of Acts. Okay, teach them to obey all I've commanded you, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. Well, Joshua was the disciple of Moses. Now Joshua's commanding these guys, and these guys are saying, we're going to be faithful disciples, you could say. We're going to be faithful at executing the plan that God gives you, that you give us. And then they look back at Joshua and they say, only be strong and courageous. This is the people under Joshua. This is the people who Joshua is commanding. And they are looking back at their boss and saying, we need you to be strong and courageous, Joshua. Meaning, send us on bold missions. We're ready to go. We're ready to fight. We're in this all the way. And we need you as the leader to be a strong and courageous leader, to not back down, to not wimp out, to be clear, and let's get this done. We want to fight for you, but we want to fight for you knowing that we're fighting a big, bold plan that's worth fighting for. That's what they're saying. So God had commanded Joshua this, and now the people under Joshua who are looking to him for leadership are directly and clearly telling him, demanding of him, good leadership. It's kind of amazing that Joshua is kind of in this sandwich of doing this. But what I think we can all get out of it, maybe you're not a person who's in any kind of leadership in your life right now. What you can get out of this is simply to say, look, if I'm not leading, I better be a good follower. If you are trying to advance God's kingdom, but you don't feel that you are in a leadership position or something, maybe you're not everybody's cut out to lead. We can't all be leaders. That's ridiculous. you're in the position somewhere. Well, be loyal. Get under a leader that serves God, that meditates on his law day and night and does not let God's word depart from his mouth. Get under a spiritual leader like that and go and do and obey and follow whatever comes. All right? Make sure that you're following a righteous, godly, God-fearing, Bible-quoting leader. That's who Joshua is supposed to be. Make sure you're under a strong and courageous leader who has the fear of God and is rooted in God's word, and then get to it. Get to it. Joshua's not going to conquer his land on his own. That's ridiculous, of course. And neither are the followers going to attack it and win on their own. You need it all, okay? Now, those who are in spiritual leadership positions, if you are a parent, you are a spiritual leader. All right? You have children, you're the spiritual leader. If you are married, husbands, you are the spiritual leader of your wife, of your household. If you're married with children, without, whatever. Okay? Most people are spiritual leaders in some capacity. If you are a child, your younger siblings, you're a spiritual leader for them. You're not like your parents. Your parents are the heads of the household, but you are a spiritual leader just by being older. Littler ones are looking up to you every time. If you don't have any siblings younger than you, well, then you can be an example for all the believers. Like Paul wrote to Timothy, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but instead set an example. So everybody, I started off by saying if you're not in spiritual leadership, you're a follower and we can't all be leaders. Stand by that. But on the other side, on the flip side of it, everybody is a spiritual leader in some capacity. Everybody is called to go out and make disciples. Everybody. You might do it one way or somebody else does it another way. You might be leading a large discipleship group, or you might be in a discipleship group, a large one, and you're just kind of a member of it and you don't have a lot to say or contribute. Well, guess what? You're still charged in some capacity with spiritual leadership. And people will look and learn from you, and you have something to offer. I don't have anything to offer, you say. Yes, you do. If these guys that Joshua is commanding, the Reubenites, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they said, oh yeah, Joshua, we'd be happy to fight for you, but we don't have any skills, we can't fight for you, sorry, we don't have anything to offer. Are they going to conquer the land? No, they are not. All right, they're asking him to be strong and courageous, he's going to depend on them to be strong and courageous too. All right, if you are a believer, you are charged with some level of spiritual authority and some level of spiritual responsibility for others. Love your neighbor, love your enemy. All these things. our forms of spiritual leadership. So do it. Step up and do it. Do it courageously. The definition of courage is doing it when you don't, when it's hard. Doing it when you're afraid to. Doing it when you don't think you can do it. That's the definition of courage. Why do you think it repeats it so often? It's because you and I are probably not very courageous on our own. We are not very strong and courageous. We are easily dismayed and discouraged and stuff. Like God told Joshua not to be. We are easily that. And so when you feel like, oh, I'm not a spiritual leader, I have nothing to contribute, guess what? You are being dismayed and discouraged, and God says don't be. He says to be strong and courageous. So no, you're not the, not everybody's the senior pastor at a church. Not everybody's the discipleship leader. Not everybody's the Bible study leader. Not everybody is the father of the household. Obviously not. But everybody does have a spiritual responsibility under God. And those who are in offices, hold offices of spiritual leadership, are held to a higher standard. God commands this to Joshua, and the people under him command it to him. So he's in a important position. But everybody is expected, and we rely upon everybody to be spiritual leaders wherever you're at, faithful ones. Hold to your word. These guys, this couple of tribes could have easily said, well, Moses is dead, and that was a long time ago, and we're here in the land, and sorry, Joshua, we're happy with this. They could have easily punked out like that. There would have been a strong temptation to. Why go fight if the land is right here? This land is great land, and it's part of God's total allotment to us. Let's just have it. Let the other tribes fight for their land, and no problem. It would have been easy to rationalize that, and it would have been cowardly. And God said, be strong and courageous, not cowardly. And these guys jumped in, and they went for it, and they did it. All right, so let's be faithful people. Let's build one another up. Let's stand with each other. If someone else has a spiritual fight they need to fight, and you're a brother, a tribe member, or whatever, join with them. You don't have to fight. Maybe you already won your fights. Maybe you've already worked through that particular struggle that your brother or sister's dealing with. Well, guess what? That makes you a great person to help them along instead of just kind of laying them to the side while you keep moving forward in your own direction. If we're a body, if we're truly one body, the church is one body, 1 Corinthians 12. If we are truly one body with just different body parts, we need each other, right? Right. The whole body's weaker if one part's weaker. If you have one organ, think of your internal organs here, one of them starts to go bad, you're going to be in the hospital. Your whole body's going to be in the hospital. They don't just take your pancreas to the hospital and leave the rest of you to go keep getting work done. No, your whole body goes, right? You land a hammer on your finger, your whole body feels it. And the rest of your body compensates for that finger till it heals, right? So we're in this together, and nobody can say that I'm useless. Oh, because I don't have that skill, I'm useless. Nobody can say, oh, I do have this skill and you don't, so I'm better and you're worse. No, that's not what this is about. We need each other, and we need to all be moving together. If God's people do this, if God's people submit under God, we do not let his word depart from our mouths. We meditate on it day and night. He goes with us wherever we go because wherever we go is in line with his will. And we join together and we submit to one another. We follow strong, courageous leadership under God. And we get out there and do it. God's kingdom will advance and it will not stop advancing. And the gates of hell will not stop it. And they will try and they will be pushed aside. Right? So if God's people do this, we will see great victory, great spiritual victory. New people coming to the Lord, giving their lives to the Lord. We will see marriages transformed. We will see children transformed, teenagers transformed, families that were heading south will circling down the drain. It will all of a sudden bounce to the top and be in good shape. If we do this, if we hold together and do this, God says it's unstoppable under God. Okay, so praise the Lord. We'll get into chapter 2 for next time. I've managed to free up a good bit of my afternoon. I might crank out a bunch of these here just today and post them up. I'm never going to catch up to the past several months of falling behind. That's not the point of it, but I do want to get some more out there. All right, God bless you. Praise the Lord, and we'll see you next time.